up here this morning. I'll have to work around. Our scripture reading this morning is one of my favorites. It comes from the 24th chapter of Luke, beginning with the 13th verse. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him, and he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women in our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are and how slow to heart to believe all the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' Then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near to the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over.' So he went to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight." The word of God to the people of God. Again, I want to welcome you to Good Shepherd United Methodist Church this morning. Christ is still risen. Christ is still risen indeed. Hallelujah. Welcome again. We're glad that you're here with us this morning, whether you're online, whether you're in the house, but everyone worshiping with us, whether you're at home or here in the church, are part of the Good Shepherd United Methodist family. And we want to welcome everybody here. Let's take a moment this morning to wave to each other in the house and those online to connect our spirits in worship so that we can feel that family feeling. If you see someone this morning that you don't recognize or someone who maybe hasn't been here in a while, we ask that you offer them a warm Good Shepherd welcome. Please comment if you're online. If you're in the house, it's really okay to shout out a good amen or let us know that you're still awake. Today is often referred to as Low Sunday. And when we were standing in the back before service started, Stephanie and Austin and I really began to wonder, were we going to be hit by that this morning? Because it is statistically usually the lowest attended service of the year. But it also called Low Sunday because compared to Easter Sunday celebrations, worship seems a bit bland. But we would do well to remember that any day that we worship God is not a low experience. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We will still be an Easter people, living in the promise that Christ is alive forevermore. We celebrate that we too have this resurrected hope of eternal life in Christ every time we gather for worship. It's like an old evangelist supposedly once said, "I don't care how high you jumped on the night you were saved. What I do care about is how straight you walk when you land." So, let's get our worship on and expect God to speak to us this morning. I'm Pastor Regina and I look forward to spending time with you this morning. Last week we celebrated God's ta-da moment. There we go. This moment was a great, and its implications of God's spectacular feat is life-changing. We can't stop with that celebration, though. We can't stop with knowing that it happened and then just go on with our regular lives. We must continue our faith journey and see what amazing things God has in store for Good Shepherd United Methodist Church in 2024 and beyond. Some of my favorite scriptures to preach are those post-resurrection stories. Those stories where the disappointed and disillusioned disciples were living their life in despair. The man whom they had followed for the past 3 years was in their mind dead. For the next couple of weeks, we'll look at two post-resurrection stories that are familiar, and we will discover that we too are living post-resurrection lives. The difference between us and those first century disciples is that we have over 2,000 years of hindsight, and they only had a few days. There were several examples in Scripture where Jesus appeared to his disciples after the women reported that the tomb where they had placed Jesus was empty. The first and probably the most dramatic story that we know is Mary's encounter with Jesus. We know that Mary's own agenda prevented her from seeing Jesus at first. She had lost hope and her spiritual vision was impaired. Upon hearing Jesus speak her name, her vision was clear. And she recognized Jesus. Now, Matthew's gospel account tells us of other women who witnessed the empty tomb. After hearing the message that Jesus was risen and was no longer in the tomb, they left with fear and great joy. In their excitement, they actually saw Jesus and were able to worship him. There were the disciples who were locked in the upper room for fear of the Jews when Jesus appeared to them, offering them peace in the midst of their despair. Their eyes were opened as peace fell upon them. We read of Jesus on the beach who had returned. These fishermen had returned to their previous occupation, but Jesus was there on the beach to share fish and bread with them. This is the setting where his faith was restored after he had denied Jesus 3 times. And next week we'll see Thomas's doubt destroyed after being in the presence of the risen Jesus and seeing the wounds of his suffering. But all of these saddened, hopeless witnesses initially did not recognize Jesus among them. Their eyes were clouded by desolation. All their hope was restored as they encountered the risen Savior. The questions that arise for us today are, how many times do we, in our everyday distractions and despondency, miss Jesus in our own midst? How is our vision impaired by life circumstances and our misguided preconceptions? Why do our spiritual eyes lose the ability to see God's presence when all hope seems lost? Now, the Emmaus story is my favorite post-resurrection story for many reasons. There were rumors that Jesus' resurrection, and some of Jesus' followers had actually reported seeing him. But Cleopas and his friend were walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and they were discussing the events of the crucifixion and the reports of this empty tomb. Like us, Cleopas was just an ordinary man. He was going about his daily walk after the events of the Passover, Jesus' arrest, his trial, his crucifixion. Now, tradition holds that Cleopas was Jesus' uncle. He was also known as Alphaeus, who was the father of James the Less. The fact that Cleopas didn't recognize Jesus on this road to Emmaus is a bit confusing given the familial relationship. But Cleopas' spiritual eyes, too, were dimmed by his fading hope. So let's join these Emmaus travelers as they walk down the road. It's not unusual for travelers to join together as they walk along the road in that first century because it was a little bit safer to be in a group, and they loved the companionship. So these two men seemingly look a bit dejected. So they look like they could use some cheering up, so let's join them along the way. So as we begin our travel together, we deliberate the implications of what we have seen. We voice the hopes and the dreams that we had when Jesus was with us. We remember how Jesus taught us before his crucifixion. Now, a stranger joins us along the way, and we're welcoming, but we soon learn that he's clueless as to the events of the last few days. Yet there's something about this stranger that is intriguing and charismatic. After filling the stranger in on the previous day's events, he begins to tell us about the messianic prophecies. He opens to us the scriptures and their applications to the Messiah. Now, at the fork in the road, the stranger appears to be headed on his way, but we encourage him to stay with us and to eat. He agrees. The stranger took the bread, he blessed it and broke it and shared it with us. And what happened? We all recognized that we had been in the presence of the risen Christ all along. It was after he disappeared that we knew our hearts had been burning as we walked along the road, and that the power of the Holy Spirit opened to us the scriptures as he talked. We felt the mystical connection of the Passover, the last meal that we shared with Jesus, and the newly instituted sacrament of the Eucharist. Our 21st century selves connect these events with the blessed sacrament of Holy Communion that we'll take in just a few minutes. We find ourselves today on a modern road to Emmaus. We read the post-resurrection sightings and implications of a risen Savior and the impact that it had on all of these witnesses. We connect our own faith journeys to the lessons of those first witnesses. We now stand at the crossroads asking ourselves, what are we going to do about all we have learned from these encounters with Christ? Let's look at the actions of our first century brothers and sisters and see the lessons that we've learned. First, Cleopas and his friends returned to Jerusalem to tell others about that they had seen Jesus. Several of the witnesses went and told others about their experiences of the risen Lord. Seems to me that it's very clear in Scripture that we too should be telling of our experiences with Jesus. What has Jesus done in our own lives? How have we encountered and counted on Jesus in times of stress and rejoiced in times of joy? How have we shown Jesus' love to others, that love that has been shown to each of us? It's not like we have to look too far into our own lives to see that we are blessed. Most of us have more than we use, and all of us are better off than we deserve. Some of us have had Damascus Road experiences of faith, while others of us have known no other life than one of faith. However it is that we've experienced Christ, it is our responsibility as Christians to share Christ with others. We have a great faith community here at Good Shepherd United Methodist Church. We respond when there's a need in our community, whether it's immediate or one of our time-honored ministries like the food pantry, Room in the Inn, or Feed the Need. We do well being Christ in our community and beyond. But how are we at witnessing to those on a daily basis? Do we share what God has done and is doing in our lives? Do we give credit to God for the many blessings that we have received? Do we perform random acts of kindness in the name of Christ? How long has it been since we've invited someone to church or asked them to lunch on Sunday afternoon after they've been in worship with us? What have we done to build relationships deeply enough with someone that we can ask them to church activity? Folks, most folks in the 21st century are not out there looking for a church to go to on Sunday morning. Most folks, particularly those under 40, are looking for ways to make a difference in the world and to make a difference in someone else's life. They're looking to impact the community and to better the lives of those less fortunate than themselves. For all its faults, the United Methodist Church has the best theology around to reach folks in the 21st century. We believe in loving God first and all that we have, with all that we have, and loving our neighbors as God has loved us. From its beginning, the United Methodist movement has built relationships with others through small groups. They've held each other accountable through prayer and study. They've cared for the poor, educated those deemed too unimportant to educate, provided access to health care, and provided opportunities for folks to turn their lives around after finding themselves in prison. Most importantly, the Methodist movement shared the gospel message of Jesus Christ with those who the Church of England did not see fit to allow into their elite churches. All of us, all we have to do is to look at our roots as United Methodists to see that it is up to each of us to spread the love of God, whoever we encounter, whether they meet our expectations or not. Have we, as United Methodists, always gotten it right? Absolutely not. Our current issues are just an example of these misjudgments. How we handled racism in the 60s and our treatment of Native Americans before that have left bruises and hurt and scars of battle. We're trying to do better. There will always be some group of others that we may not agree with. But we only have to look to the examples of Christ to see that we are called to love all persons. Our task as followers of Christ is to learn to agree to disagree and in a healthy manner and still love each other as Christ loves us. When Jesus wanted to include the outcast fishermen in his inner circle, they were pretty pumped until Jesus wanted to include those tax collectors. Followers said, "Them too?" And Jesus said, "Yes." And the followers shared the message. Then the women were included, and the followers said, "Them too." And Jesus said, "Yes." And the followers shared the message. Then the Gentiles entered the picture, and the followers said, "Them too." And Jesus said, "Yes." And the followers shared the message. See where I'm going here? Jesus was all inclusive of the message of love. His disciples followed suit. We sit here today as products of being included in the gospel message. We all got here through differing paths, but we arrived because someone built a relationship with us and we followed them into a faith community. It is our turn to share the gospel message through our actions, build relationships with those we encounter, and then lead them to a faith community where they can then be impacted and then impact the world for Christ. The Emmaus travelers recognized Jesus and remembered his teachings as he broke the bread and shared it with them. In the third day, a book by Bishop Tom Berlin, he portrays these Emmaus travelers as folks without hope until they recognized Jesus in the breaking of the bread. Their eyes were opened and their hope restored as Jesus took that bread, blessed it, broke it, and shared it with them. We too must allow our clouded spiritual eyes to clear and regain the skill of loving compromise, respectful compassion, and unconditional acceptance taught to us through the examples of Christ. Resurrection hope is for all people. It is in the breaking of the bread that we can experience resurrection hope. When we get so distracted by our disappointment in life, we often lose hope. When our hope fades, so does our capacity to recognize God's presence with us. Each time we come to the communion table, each time we come to worship, each time we encounter a hopeless situation, we should expect to experience Christ. The story of the Emmaus travelers reminds us of the prevenient grace of God. This grace that goes before us even when we don't recognize our need for God. God initiates relationship with us at the very moment when our hope seems lost. God seeks us out and restores our hope. The Emmaus story reminds us that God goes with us even when we do not know that God is present. This fact, my friends, is the power of Jesus' encounter with those Emmaus travelers. If we want to encounter the risen Christ, we must put ourselves in places where Christ is already present. Too often we want to keep Christ in a beautiful sanctuary where we can go and check in once a week and feel good about ourselves. We forget that Christ is already present on the streets, in the prisons, in the communities that look pretty good on the outside, but that are rotting from within because of abuse of various kinds, toxic relationships, and hatred of everything that does not meet its standards. Christ encountered a grieving woman in a garden, doubters locked behind closed doors, misguided fishermen who had lost their focus, an enthusiastic follower who tended to put his foot in his mouth more often than not, and a group of disciples who thought all was lost on the road to Emmaus. Christ encountered each of us and each of these people and changed the world through them. Christ meets us every day. Sometimes we recognize him, sometimes we don't. Sometimes we welcome him and sometimes we ignore him because he does not meet our criteria for the Messiah. But be challenged. Be challenged as we move forward on our faith journey to be aware of Christ's encounters along our way. Share our faith with our actions. Build relationships with unexpected folks. May our eyes be opened as we walk in faith to the day of Pentecost, as we encounter the Holy Spirit. As we move into a time of communion, our responses to the liturgy will be on the screen, or you can find them on page 13 in your hymnal if you'd rather read them from the book. Christ the Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give our thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread. He broke the bread and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with your Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. If those who are assisting me with communion this morning will come forward. People, let us join together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We'll serve by intinction this morning. They'll take a piece of bread, hand it to you. You'll place it in the cup. If you're not comfortable with intinction, we have single serve options and we do have gluten-free options available for you. But we must remember that this is Christ's meal. All are invited to the table. Whether you are a member of the United Methodist Church, whether you are a member of Good Shepherd, this is Christ's meal, and Christ invites us all to come to the table. And we need to come expecting that we will meet Christ as he serves. Let us come. I'm From this place, looking for Jesus with open eyes so that we may see Jesus in our midst. Amen.
I want to see.